Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. This podcast was recorded live from the YouTube Ham Radio Crash Course channel. We stream every Friday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and try to cover many topics in amateur radio. Consider supporting us through patreon.com/Hosh Nasi, which is Hotel Oscar Sierra Hotel, Nevada Alpha Sierra India. Without further ado, let's get started. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course. How was your Friday? I hope it was good. I hope your whole week was good. Mine was a lot of fun. I was very busy. But yeah, very cool. Glad you're joining us. Got a lot of people in the chat right now. Thanks for making it out. I saw Ham Radio Concepts in there earlier. That's super cool. Thanks for coming out, Eric. Yeah. Man, we'll get started soon. I got some new memes, some spicy ones, and we're going to go through them in a little bit. Wireless ground clamp, one of my favorites. Oh, I gotta grab my beer. Hold on. I got the hopsy back up and I gotta fill it up. Hold on. Yeah, sometimes this thing pours out too much head. Wanna join? There it is. Late game Yaggies. Remember hashtag late game Yaggies from a couple weeks ago? That's what I'm talking about. Get the ham radio police. There it is. The no code ham radio for lids. Thank you to Doug Simmons for. making that. That's fantastic. No code ham radio for lids. What is up, everybody? I am Josh, KI6NAZ. This is the Ham Radio Crash Course. Our goal here is to create an inclusive environment to introduce people to the amateur radio hobby, have a lot of fun while doing it. Am I playing over myself? I hope not. Okay, good. I heard it in the background. Anyway, so that's why we're here. And today we are going to be talking about actual people who helped save lives using amateur radio. Consider this a two-part stream, if you will. This is the first part today. And then next week, the patrons have picked using ham radio in a disaster or emergency as the topic. So next week will kind of be the continuation of this. Think of, you know, as we're going through some of these stories, think about some of the trends, things you hear that you'll want to remember as you start building a kit or something like that. So, yep, I did indeed get a haircut. I also trimmed my beard a bit, but left this part a little bit long. So, giving a shout out from Central California to the best ham man. Hey, thanks a lot, Adam. Appreciate that. We got the UK. Hey, Ian's in the house from the Philippines. Got Massachusetts. Got Missouri. Birmingham, Alabama. tons of people. Minnesota, Vancouver, British Columbia, right on. Hey, there's James Hannibal, right on. Very good. Remember, guys, James Hannibal is running a discount if you use the term, I think it's HRCC at Quirky QRPs. I believe the link is still in the description. You can check that out. Scroll down a little bit and you'll see it. All right. Yeah, a bit of a high and tight, I guess, but I left the front lawn. All right. So what's the news for today? Well, let me get this out of the way. Discord. We always do the Discord. It's kind of one of our favorite little spots to get together on the internet. It's a 24/7 chat and voice chat, if you're interested in that, where it's focused on amateur radio, but we cover a lot of other topics. The links for that are in the description, and that's where we do our after chat, which after the stream tonight, we're going to hop over to Discord. Last time we had... Did we get 70 people last week? I don't know. I think the week before that, we had 70 people for sure. It was a very busy week. So join us over there if you have any questions. I will have the call-ins on the latter half of this show, so you're welcome to call in as well. Zach's posting the link for Discord right on. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And yeah, so another big kind of semi-news thing for the Ham Radio Crash Course. We recently hit a Patreon goal, so I'm going to start or figure out how to add more than one stream into the week. I don't know what that's going to look like exactly. I had a poll running on Patreon, so they're kind of guiding how we go with this. But I'm going to try and maybe not twice a week. I've got to figure out how to do it, but I'm going to figure out how to do more than just the Friday stream, in addition to posting to YouTube on the regular videos. So it's going to be pretty intense for sure. And let's see. Got a couple of things here. Let's show you. Reminder, if you haven't already, please join the giveaway. We are still doing the giveaway for the G90 once I hit 73,000 subscribers, and that will follow up with a live stream, which I've hopefully lined up some cool stuff that we're going to give away, and then we're going to do the soda weekend trip, which is here in Southern California at Mount Pacifico, and that's 72 feet above sea level here in Southern California, not too far outside of LA, actually. It's actually a really easy drive. So It'll be 6 miles out, 6 miles back, and we're going to spend the night there. So we'll be able to activate on the first day and the second day. So you can double your points if you want to try and work us on HF or VHF. So very cool with that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Now, let's see. Ah, okay. So I got to do this really quick because I posted that ABRI antenna video. Please go watch that if you haven't. I thought it was kind of cool. There is a whole lot of confusion, and I'll try and give you the best example. If you look at the customer reviews, there's a lot of people who actually mention me in the customer reviews, which is kind of cool, but it's usually with a bad review. And what happens, a lot of them, let me find some of the ones there. Where is it? let's go to the one stars. Ham Radio Crash Course, there it is. And they're mentioning SWR at 1.8 something to 1. There's another one that mentions, there's actually a lot of them that mention that they threw it onto an SWR meter and they were disappointed by the results. And I wanted to demonstrate really quickly before we get into the slides, so thank you for following along with me while we do this. I have my ABRI connected to the AA170 Rig Expert, right? This does 2 meters. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold it over here because I got to get it away from metal and stuff. Let me example. But, okay, so what I did, Rig Expert, right? Rig Expert with a rat tail or a tiger tail on the back of it. Let's see what the SWR reading is. That is about 1.5 to 1, and you see the dip actually on this antenna is now down here, right? And it goes all the way up. So 1.5 to 1, you're like, hey, that's not that bad. Well, let's take the tiger tail off really quick. And I'm going to talk to you about what's confusing about SWR meters, because people get really confused with SWR readings on an HT. So let's do that again. Let me slide it over here. So now let's look at it. Oh, no. What is it saying? It's saying 4 to 1, and it's actually dipping now down here, meaning that we changed the match to this antenna by removing that wire, and it's going to go all the way down off the end, and we're not going to be able to see where the dip is. So does that mean that the ABRI antenna is not resonant on 2 meters? No. What it means is we've significantly changed the match by adding that wire and taking off that wire. Further, because we've got it connected to a Rig Expert, the only thing we're really proving is that the Rig Expert is a poor match to that antenna. It's not designed to be a match. It's designed to test balance antennas, like a dipole or something along those lines. So when you take an ABRI and mount it onto one of these guys, right, which I'll show you right now, and key it up, well, again, you've modified the antenna system by having that big chunky SWR on the top of it, right? So you plug it into the top here. So we're still going to get an off reading, right? So let's turn this guy on. And we'll do a quick key, and then I'll give my call sign. Hey, look at that. It's a 1.2 SWR. KI6NAZ with a radio test. KI6NAZ. So 1.2 SWR, and I just lost the overhead camera, so that's wonderful. Let me change that back really quick. Nope, it's gone. So anyway, 1.2 SWR when you have this connected to it. But this is a big metal box that's also changing your match. So you're constantly messing with the antenna match. That's why HTs get such a bad rap as being, you know, basically dummy loads, is because the HT antenna is affected by everything, particularly when you are transmitting it, when you're holding it against your head. Which is why in that video I didn't want to do anything where I was, you know, had some kind of device on it to measure the SWR, because I don't know what testing apparatus Nagoya or ABRI uses in making the antennas. I don't know what their saline head, how it affects the antenna, the proximity to the radio. I don't know. And since I can't recreate their exactly what they're doing, anything that we do as far as, where'd that go? Anything we do as far as connecting it to an SWR and reading the SWR reading is going to be apples to oranges. They're not going to match. And so it's very difficult to compare SWRs on a given antenna versus another antenna. There's too much variability to it. The whole thing, even measuring it, is extremely difficult. That's why I went with using a practical example of transmitting between two fixed locations with the radio. And that's why you got really good results from the Abri, is that it's actually a pretty good antenna. So just keep that in mind. When somebody says it's a bad antenna, or any antenna for that example, on VHF, UHF, be cautious of that on an HT. Because one, they have their own problems, proximity to your face, poor matching, all that's true. But when they only speak in SWR terms, you want to be careful, right? So just keep that in mind. All right, let's read some of the comments. Okay. Outlander Systems, thank you very much. He says, in a recent video is where the rubber meets the road anyway. Yeah, so the radio never got hot. It never, when I was transmitting, it never warmed up because it was a poor match or anything like that. It just, it works really well. It receives really well and it transmits really well. I was very impressed by how it did on UHF. So, hey, I will leave it at that. You know, if SWR is really important to you, which it is when you start moving up to dipoles and HF, very important stuff. You know, we've talked about that in the past. But when it comes to HTs, it's a bit of black magic because of the human being in the loop and however they made the antenna. They don't know that you have a tiger tail or pigtail or whatever you want to call it. They don't even really know what radio you're using. So they're working with what they have with their testing apparatus. So to keep that in mind, you're still going to be okay. And the radios are built somewhat to deal with that bit of a mismatch. So anyway. All right, thank you for bearing with me. All right, why do we have Skype on there? Bye-bye, Skype. All right, so, oh, that's not going to be good. Hold on. I was going through my slides beforehand, and then I got distracted trying to get everything ready. So, all right, well, anyway, thank you for taking a little detour there. What are we talking about? Ham Radio Heroes, times where amateur radio has been used to save lives. And all the links for the descriptions or all the links for the different articles we're talking about will be in the description. So, you know, I like to give credit to people who brought this information out there. There's a sourcing of web forums, private websites, and newspaper articles that cover this. And because of that, sometimes I don't have the call signs for the individual, which I think is okay. But anyway, let's get on with it. That's not it either. Got to do that once. I can never have it just work right out of the box. So we're going to be talking about different kinds of heroes, if you will. Ham radios coming to the rescue can happen in lots of different ways. And today we're going to talk about a couple examples of that. And specifically, communicating with victims when they get in trouble, when they get hurt, or people that are by the victim. People calling for help may not be the victim. You get the idea. Directing first responders, really big thing. Usually when people are involved in these type of situations, the reason why they're using amateur radio is because they're out in the wilderness somewhere. They're out in an area where cell phones don't work. And so they need the radio for that communication. So the person making the contact that's more local is generally either going to be using the radio to work with other people and coordinate, or picking up their phone and coordinating that way. Almost every one of these stories is going to have that as one of the unifying factors, if you will. And then just emergency response in general. There's a lot of agility, I guess you could say, to amateur radio, because when it's working, you've got a direct connection to somebody. And it's that one-to-one connection, right? Like we talk about, the reason why amateur radio still exists and is still so useful is that emergency one-to-one communication, not having to worry about a network, not having to worry about a bunch of technology that can go wrong. Not to say radio can't go wrong, but less problems in that sense. And then lastly, relaying traffic. And I mentioned that is like, well, how did relaying traffic save lives? Well, we'll get to it a little bit as we get down the line, but I'll cover this first and foremost. There's relaying traffic like when there's a big hurricane and a whole country like Puerto Rico is taken out. There's hams that were transmitting traffic out of Puerto Rico into the States to let people know that they were okay. Now, did they save a life in doing that? No, but they saved the life of that individual to the person waiting to hear from them in the States. Person in the States could be thinking that they were dead, hurt, needed help, needed something, and they get that message saying, no, we're okay, we're fine, we're going to make it. And that technically saves the life in the mind of the person that's waiting to hear that call in the States. I don't have an example of that later in the slide, so I wanted to mention that up front, because just passing traffic, that's something we still do. People who have gotten radiograms through the ARRL, same kind of idea, passing traffic back and forth, extremely important when comms are down. So that's one of the areas where amateur radio really shines. Okay, so first, Carl So, KI6P, CW, and Deborah Ava, KJ6CRZ. Now, I will say this right up front, and unrelated to me, I was looking for information on this, and I ended up stumbling on the GoFundMe for Carl So and Deborah Ava. They're married. They have a family. And they have lost their house due to a fire. I believe it was one of the fires in California. And so they had a GoFundMe up. It was from last year or 2018. I will post the link in the description, but if you search their names, if you're interested, you'll find it. I don't think they met their goal, but you know, I just want to get that out there because I stumbled upon that and I thought it's important to let people know. Zach Dar says, who's going to the Hamfest in Belvedere, Illinois on Sunday? I'll be there around noon. So we're using, see, we're passing traffic right now. I'm passing traffic. right on. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Zach, for that. Okay. So hiking hams assist a fallen man. So Carl and Deborah are on a scouting event in Catalina, California. Catalina is an island that's close to the mainland California area, Southern California, outside Long Beach. Really nice, actual, pretty cool place to go if you ever get the chance to go there. It's a nice little spot. You can make a day, make a weekend of it. If you're a bed and breakfast type couple, you could spend a weekend there, probably more than a couple of days, just having a leisurely weekend. So keep that in mind. Also, the catamaran that takes you out to Catalina Island has some of the best Bloody Marys I've ever had. So just passing that word along. So Carl and Deborah know about the repeater that is in Catalina Island, CARA, C-A-R-A. And they decided to hike up to a mountain to see if they could see the repeater. And on the way, they spotted a man who had fallen roughly 48 feet and was bloody and severely wounded. So basically, they leapt into action using their radios. They made contact with Scott, who is KD6QZX. That's a mouthful. That's a heavy CW load. On the mainland, and they called in the emergency. The injured man ended up having to be airlifted to the mainland for medical care, and I believe the first responders were the Baywatch, as they call it. Like, not the TV show, but the actual Baywatch in California. John, I think it's Geeds or Geddes, says, Catalina is beautiful. I have family that runs a few businesses in the one town on the island, Avalon. Yeah, it's an interesting spot. Kind of quirky, very quirky. No cars allowed, but they all kind of have like electric-powered golf carts. So as I'm going through some of these stories, keep in mind, you know, what did they do? What was the response like? How did it work? Oh, I realized my light's not up. I apologize. Rob, I'll get you on 1 second, buddy. I had to watch the kid before the stream started. They are Beyblade crazy right now. So they ended up ordering them some Beyblades, and they're at the front door waiting for the Amazon man or lady. Rob Zar, Zarge? I hope that's right. I hope I'm not offending you. Past tech in general tonight because of your inspiration. Thanks, Josh. Not sure what to do next. Tech in general? I guess get your extra. Go get some radios, have some fun, you know? A lot of people won't stop until they get their electric, or I'm reading the chat, to get their extra before having fun with radio. There's no reason you can't stop and smell the roses a little bit. You have your general, you can get on HF. Technician, you obviously can access VHF, UHF, so have a little fun. You earned it, buddy. Maybe buy a radio. Maybe go buy yourself a nice HF radio. Jesse, yes, I do, and I will. Hopefully soon. We'll see how it goes. All right, so next we're going to talk about Mike Everett. Mike Everett, I don't have his call sign. I'm sure I could have looked it up, but I figured if he didn't want it out there, it's not in the article. I won't mention it. So privacy is important, guys. So monitoring ham responds to a call for help. So a 12-year-old was having an epileptic seizure on a campout, and one of the campers had a ham radio and called for help when the cell phones had no signal. Another familiar trend that we're going to be that we'll be talking about for the rest of the show. The ham seeking help used a local repeater to get his message out. Mike was the first to respond, although there was others, and he ended up calling in the emergency. During the call with 911, the dispatcher didn't believe that it wasn't Mike that needed help, that he was relaying second party traffic or third party traffic. So important to keep that in mind. A lot of these people end up calling for help, and there's a lot of confusion when you go from the radio to the phone because people aren't expecting an amateur radio operator to be the one that says, hey, by the way, this is who I'm calling out for. The Dirt Boy 999, thank you. Great channel. Thanks for the choice content. Cheers. And cheers to you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Oh, and I do have my ham radio crash course mug. Thanks again. I'll take a quick side track here. Gary asks, is the HYS tactical folding antenna equivalent to the ABRI? Yes. Yes, it is. Craig Walker says, y'all should look into the Wilderness Protocol. We talked about that a couple of shows ago. I will be mentioning it on the stream next week, so we will cover it in greater detail. But W6RAP, who is a search and rescue volunteer, a fellow YouTuber, and fellow Californiite, is an advocate of the Wilderness Protocol. So is Jerry, KG6HQD. So if you're interested in that, you can go check them out. Just search Wilderness Protocol, and you'll be able to find it. So here's a snip from the article. Mike says, I'm at home. I'm a home radio operator, and we just use it to chat to people around the country and further afield. I believe that this story happened in the UK, so keep that in mind. But very occasionally something happens like this. I've been licensed for 5 years, and this is the first time I've ever had to do this. Some people would be a little hesitant, but I was more than happy to help, he added. Within 3 minutes, the emergency services were on their way to May, who is the injured child or the child having the seizure. First, to fire brigade's emergency responder arrived, and then the ambulance, which had been some distance away on the M5. The M5 being a roadway in the UK. All right. Brad Byland helps himself. This is a good one. This is a good one for a lot of reasons, but let's dive right into it. I love this. I love the quote. Things went smoothly until 12,700 feet, which is pretty high up there. So Brad was attempting his 29th soda activation in the winter in bad weather. Michael Felio, thank you, DEK6MJF. Thank you very much. DE is basically from, when you see that, particularly on CW, you hear that a lot. So he was attempting his soda activation. It was cold. There was snow on the ground. It was icy. I believe he was wearing crampons, he had snowshoes on. So he's wearing snowshoes, so you already know he's packing for some serious weather, and he was 12,700 feet up, and there is a total whiteout. He can barely see his hand in front of his face. He said he couldn't see the ground. That's how bad the whiteout was. And so he began to head back. He abandoned his attempt to activate, started to backtrack over the trail he went, ended up not being able to use his phone even to see the direction he was going. So he was navigating basically via his compass, using the compass to point north and then traversing in the direction that he needed to go on the way down. Well, something happened on the way, and he tripped, slipped, whatever, and fell into a crevice-type place where he could not get out himself. Realizing that he didn't hurt himself, yet he knew he wouldn't be able to get out, he decided to phone for help. Not being able to phone for help because he didn't have signal, he reached for his ham radio, and he was picked up on a local repeater. So that was good. Now, mind you, even after doing all this, Brad spent multiple hours in this location. So, you know, even though he was well equipped for the climb, he had the snowshoes, he had the right weather gear, he didn't even hurt himself really when he fell, but he realized he would add risk to his situation by trying to climb and self self-rescue, as they call it, he decided to call for help. He had a radio, a phone with GPS, he had maps, he had a compass, he had basically everything, and still, at the end of the day, he ended up going to that radio because nothing else would have worked. Right, so Brad thanks everybody involved, obviously, but he likes to give an extra shout out to Mike. Well, I think it's Mike, not Mike's. Sorry about that. KC0CNT. He is an Alpine search and rescue team member who spent hours relaying vitals and talking with Brad. Logic 44, make a repeater with some of the donated money. That's not a bad idea. I should actually. I wonder if I can make something like that work. I might be able to. So one of the things that you're going to hear a lot is there's usually somebody that's in the mix and was likely involved with emergency response in some way. And it seldom is just, I heard a radio call for help and I responded with my radio and I phoned it in and then, I'm done, I'm out. Most of the time, the individual stays on the air with the person who is stranded or hurt, or the person who called for help is with the person who got hurt, and they stay there on the air. And just like said here, relaying vitals and talking with Brad. Relaying vitals, and is he going hypothermic? How quickly should search and rescue go to get him, right? If he's okay, they can take their time staying safe and get enough time to get out there and get him out without having to rush, right? Because the more you rush, the more likely you are to take shortcuts and end up hurting yourself, right? The Puerto Rico, right? So Puerto Rico, the perfect storm. I mentioned the perfect storm because total blackout, right? Maria, Hurricane Maria, Category 5, 165 mile hours sustaining winds, takes out all the power structure, kills all the power lines, leaving the island 100% without power. Bad situation, right? Immediately a bad, bad situation. So with all the airports closed, due to the Doppler radars being destroyed, ports closed due to prevents relief efforts, right? Because the ports have boats that are damaged, just detritus that's in the water. Ports are closed for the first couple of days, if not the first week. And if you think about, you're in an enclosed environment, the island of Puerto Rico, an emergency happens, takes out everything. Everybody is dealing with their own damage, own destruction, possibly hurt, sick people, whatever. People, first responders, a lot of them stay home because they've got to take care of their own family, right? There's looters and thieves running around, random violence because the police are also stretched thin. They're also first responders. They got to take care of their family. Bad situation. I call it the perfect storm because it was literally an inclusive environment in which total destruction happened and people were kind of left on their own, right? Dealing with not just a disaster, but also dealing with the very real reality of humans kind of being bad to each other, right? And yeah, the Bahamas right now are going through the same kind of thing. This is a news story, though, that was, you know, from 2017 or 2018, which we've got a little bit more information on this one. And this actually came from a debrief that happened on Hawaii for, I believe it was Aries or it was Races, one of those, where they talked about the major issues. And again, the link is in the description. So if you want to read this in greater detail, you can. So calms down. For 6 weeks, cell phones were of little help. There was only limited SMS capability. I think 3G was the highest that some of them had, kerchunking their way through it. 300 healthcare facilities without power. Lacking in staff because, again, a lot of people stayed home or couldn't get to work due to damaged, clogged roadways, et cetera, et cetera. So without the internet, they couldn't pull up patient information, right? So they're already at a loss for that, being able to relay information between hospitals, exchanging people, people coming in, people going out. Totally screwed up. No internet. We totally depend on stuff like that, you know, all over the world, not just the United States. So they have no computers. They're down. No internet. They're down. Most equipment was of little use because they had no fuel. They had a way to power it, right? Very little fuel. They don't have fuel reserves or a lot of fuel reserves. And what they did, they ran out of pretty quickly. So hams jump in. About 350, all coordinated via VHF. A lot of them were doing simplex comms from the smaller villages to get to a more urbanized area. And eventually, as time went on, right, because this took weeks of dealing with this, they ended up mapping out areas where damages were, the smaller villages that needed help when they were relaying information. They were able to report road conditions because, again, they have no other way of being able to do road conditions. They ended up repairing a repeater system. Again, when the power lines got cut and knocked down, it took out all the antennas for the repeaters that were in place. So they had to get everything back up and running. So if you imagine you're in this situation, you're working simplex, you only have simplex. Some of you got to go fix the repeater. You got to build an antenna or hope somebody had an antenna. Get that back up working because the repeater is going to be a lot more effective in getting your comms out. They were eventually able to link from east to west across Puerto Rico with a repeater system that they built. So the hams were able to service 11 hospitals, which likely means they had multiple people that were working throughout the day on staff to help securing supplies, water, power, diesel fuel, oil, generators, and equipment. And the hams were vital in relaying patient information from one facility to another during facility patient transfers, which is, you know, a real thing that's going to happen. So just think of the ramp up of the situation. You're in complete chaos. Everything's destroyed around you. You've lost the grid. There's no more power lines. Those of you that do have generators might not have a lot of gas, and there's no backup supply for gas. And quickly you can see a situation where it's like, well, what would you do in that situation? Perhaps you'd have a solar panel. Perhaps you'd have a couple solar panels. We'll talk about that next week. Remember, this is just kind of the story of people helping out other people, saving lives, if you will, and this is an example of that. Let's see. Is Rajay 617 asks, which team would you recommend, Aries, Racies, or CERT, or just get into all of them? I am a Storm Spotter, but not with any club yet. So CERT is not really as comms involved, at least my CERT isn't in Cerritos, California, and CERT is a community emergency response team. ARES is the amateur radio emergency service, and they are affiliated with the ARRL, and then RACES. I have the least experience with RACES. There was somebody that sent me an email, and I got to circle back around on RACES and see if I can get them out on the show to talk about RACES a bit. But ARES is kind of an easy thing to get more information about. It's obviously through the ARRL, and there's a ton of information out there. RACES is, I believe, Homeland Security. They're involved with, and they're involved with the government. So it's really going to depend on which one's more active in your area and if you like what they're up to. But I'm assuming you can find out more information if you searched your area and RACES or ARES. I will warn you, searching for RACES, as in races, that is very difficult to do on Google. All you're going to find is whatever NASCAR event is most local to you on that weekend. Very difficult. So Dom and Patrick Dickey are saying ARES is great for storm spotting and RACES is more of a civil defense stuff. Patrick says RACES is mainly the communications arm of the civil defense or Homeland Security. There you go. Very cool. Very cool. Okay. So this is, I think, the last story, and then we'll open the phone lines. AF6D saves 4x4s. This one is a really good story, and the link to this is in the description. I pulled this off of the QRZ forums. I found this one to be the most interesting because the person that retold the story was the one that posted the post on the QRZ forum. So a lot of good information there. He has a background in emergency response and is a trained emergency communications volunteer. So there's a lot of that comes out when you're reading it. So Crab Flats, California. Kind of in part Crab Flats, California, and in part Big Bear, California. But AF6D responds to a distress call into Big Bear Fire Department. And the distress call is basically, a ham radio operator was communicating with a party stuck in mud. That was the information that AF6D had. So basically, what we end up finding out is three people in a truck were off-roading with a larger group in Crab Flats during a major winter storm. One of the parties got separated. Basically, what we come to find out later is that when things started going bad, the group decided to split up to find their own way out, which I've never really heard of that before in an off-roading situation. First thing, right out of the gate, Don't do that. Don't separate when you are off-roading. Never go without somebody, and never separate once you're with somebody. That's just crazy, even if you have radio. So the party separated to find a way out, and the truck carrying these three people got stuck in the mud, in the rain, in the snow. Zach Darst says, what is needed to become a weather spotter? A radio and bad weather. I mean, I could weather spot in California, but, you know, it would just be me saying it's pretty nice all the time. I'm probably not the right person to answer. I'm not a weather spotter. So basically, along the lines of trying to get themselves out of the mud, all three ended up getting soaked and just stuck deeper. The truck's engine was still running, thankfully, but because at the time that this happened was some of the worst winter storms that they had in that area, things were getting cold very quickly, and they were pre-hypothermic, which is bad news. So AF6D, from his high vantage point of Big Bear, California, 6,450 feet above sea level, he tried multiple means of communicating. 2-meter simplex, local repeaters, nothing heard. Was not able to figure out where these people were. They said ham radio. Where are they? Why can't I find them? Why am I not able to pick them up? I'm at 60. The reason why the altitude is important is Big Bear, California covers, when you're at that altitude, covers a wide portion, many counties down below, and Crab Flats, the area where it's at, is one of them. So he should have been able to pick them up, at least been able to receive them, and likely would have been able to just smash their door down when he was transmitting. So it turns out he called the dispatch back, right? The Big Bear Fire Department dispatch, and says, hey, I'm not hearing them on ham radio. It turns out they were a CB operator, not a ham. So the stranded party, the owner of the truck who was driving, had the forethought to pack away a CB radio, one of those Midland handheld jobbers with the box, with the cigarette lighter, plugged it in, was barely getting out. And basically, AF6D ended up pulling out his FT-2000, which he had modified, or someone had modified for him, to work out of band, and was able to pick up the party in distress and transmit to the party in distress. Now, from his retelling and reading the post, which again, you can read this yourself, he was able to get to them very easily, right? He had all the power to push down to them. He was putting out about half power is what I believe it was, or 20 watts. But he was barely able to pick them up. It was very quiet, really tough. So the antenna that they probably had was probably not great. And it's also, 11 meters. Depending on the time of day, I'm assuming this is getting a little dark. They're basically using ground wave propagation, right? They're not using sky wave to do any of this because he's probably likely on a vertical. Maybe they had differing polarization antennas. I don't know. I'm just speculating at this point. But the stranding party can hear him, but hard to copy to AF6D. So over a 12-hour period, the party finally gets to the hospital. They had to scramble snow cats. There was a bulldozer involved just to get these people out. And that is just to get to them, right? But then there's a whole other process to get out once you have them in. The dozer was brought in to pull out the snow cats if they had gotten those stuck, which if you're getting snow cats stuck, that is a pretty bad situation. And during this whole time, like we mentioned before, AF6D is relaying patient info to dispatch while talking to the party, trying to keep the nearly hypothermic group awake. And in the post, he mentions that at one point, they fall asleep. Hey, it's Eric, Ham Radio Concepts. Thanks for the new info, Josh, and thanks for your support as a fellow YouTuber. Yeah, Josh is a very nice person. Hey, Ham Radio Concepts, I appreciate it, buddy. And I agree, you too. You're a nice person as well. And it's been a lot of fun talking to you recently. And Eric and I have been chatting a bit on the phone and in chat, and I just want to say it's been a lot of fun. So thank you. I appreciate you out there, buddy. So they're basically hyperthermic. They're falling asleep while he's trying to keep them awake through the radio. They're hearing him probably knocking down his door, but he's barely hearing them, so he's having a hard time. During this whole time, he's trying to explain to them, you know, basically get out of your wet clothes, huddle close. If you got something dry, wrap it around all of you, get tight, get close, warm up, you know, great stuff like that. And eventually, right, don't wear cotton. That's the big thing. Rescuers find the party. The truck is almost dead. They're stripped of clothing to share warmth, right? So they're trying to huddle up and keep warm. The point of this is don't wear cotton. That's a big thing. Don't wear cotton. I mention that all the time. Don't wear cotton, particularly when you're going out, when you're going off-roading, when you're going camping. Don't have cotton. No cotton underwear, no cotton socks, wool, synthetics. That's the way to go. Alex, K6FTL. Hi, Josh. Don't forget about Wilderness Protocol. I already mentioned it, and I'll mention it again next week. Don't worry. The Dirt Boy says, if you have any medical knowledge, you can look at the book called Wilderness Medicine. It was recommended by a physician I worked with. Great when you have limited resources. True. I've gone through that book a bit. I'm not going to say like I studied it super hardcore, but a lot of times it's really easy to have pretty good medical stuff on hand when you go afield. So as much as I know you can kind of ad-lib it as you go, it's better to just, you know, spend a little bit of time, pack some stuff, pack it in with you, and you'll have a lot better time. So keep that in mind. Evan Hartman, find a local Aries or Races group and get involved. Use your hobby to help yourself and help others. Thank you very much, Evan. I appreciate you, buddy. I appreciate all you do for the channel. Really means a lot. Evan is one of our amazing admins, and I really do appreciate all of them. So thank you. So without the comms, without AD6D or AF6D, the three people wouldn't have made it. I doubt the car would have gotten through the night. There are multiple stories of people getting stuck, even not that far off the road, for one night, and they don't make it. So keep that in mind, not just for being prepared with amateur radio, which you should be if you're watching this channel right now or all the other cool channels on YouTube. You're probably also thinking about that. So definitely, definitely be prepared. And that is my last slide. So I was able to go through those a little faster. But this is a two-part show, right? So don't worry. We're going to talk more about using the radios in an actual emergency. And I'm going to be talking about I'm going to go ahead and turn the call light on. We're going to talk about different radios that you might be interested in. A couple of things that jumped out at me when I was reading these stories is they are a lot of VHF UHF, VHF in particular, lot of VHF. So keep that in mind that you're likely going to want to focus at least initially on those kind of comms. I love my HTs. I love the APRS. I love all that good stuff, but I really strongly recommend looking into a mobile radio, something with 50 watts, something that, oh, do we have a caller? We do. 50 watts, good antenna, solar panel, you know, that whole thing. Hey, caller, what's up?
What's up, Josh? Eric.
Hey, it's Eric. What's up, man? We got Ham Radio Concepts in the house.
No, I'm not crashing the vid. I just wanted to call and say what's up. I think I have called your video.
Yeah, you have.
Your line one time.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah. Good videos lately. Let me ask you that. A Brie antenna.
Yes, sir.
can we go off topic here for a second?
Yeah, the call-ins, we can take them anywhere. Go for it.
Okay. So I got a Brie antenna and I've been playing with it.
Okay.
42.5-incher.
Of course.
So I saw your last couple videos on that one and the one originally you did.
Yeah.
What don't you like about that antenna?
I think the quality of it, eventually folding them in and out, it really is just two measuring tapes that are kind of on top of each other with shrink tubing around it. I think that's the weak link of the whole thing. But, you know, I'm looking at it right here. The little base coil, this thing's really well made. It's really thick. I don't know how easy it is to just get this top portion. You could probably just make this, right? You could probably just repack your own thing, keep this little mount plug. I might have to make a video just on that, but you could get another measuring tape and just make this again if you ever go break through it. But I've noticed on the 42-inch model too, when you fold it over like this, if you leave it that way, it starts to have a memory to it. I've been told, somebody told me this in the comments, if you open it back up like that and you let it sit for a couple of days, it'll straighten it back out and all that stuff will get walk out of it. You won't have the memory anymore.
Well, see, here's the thing. The one mine came in the box, it's never gotten rid of that memory. I guess it's been packed away so long, like it's got that memory there. So this thing has got like two nice creases in it, you know?
Did you let it sit out there erect? Did it just, you left it open?
I mean, not in the sun. I mean, the thing's been laying on my desk a few days, but I mean, it's not, you know, it doesn't kill me either. It's just.
But is it open? Did you let it spring out?
Yeah. It's just it's probably just the way they packed it. I think they really packed it, you know, real hard with that crease there. But
maybe.
I mean, I've tried it a couple times. It's working good. I mean, I can't see anything wrong with this antenna. I mean, I know it's thick and obtrusive, but I can't find anything wrong with this thing, really.
I picked up the antenna to make a joke video about it. I picked it up to talk about how bad it was, and I started using it, and I was like, it's not bad at all. It's really good, actually. So, I can't, yeah. I still have to try that as well. Mine, the 42-inch has some memory in it. I was going to open it up and let it sit flat, like all 42 inches, lay it flat on a table and leave it for like a day and a half and see what happened to it. That's the only thing I can think of. Other than you could break the connector on your radio. That could be a problem.
Right.
So if you got that 42-incher on that connector, you can, you know, if you give it some sheer, you know, stress, it can snap it.
Right.
Be careful.
Well,
of that.
I just like to say I learned about this antenna from watching your video. So pretty, and of course, I had to get the biggest one. I can't settle for the.
Oh yeah.
You know, I had to get the Abri 42-inch. You know, so,
the long boy, as we call it. Hashtag long boy.
Yeah. Thanks for that. That's it though. Just wanted to call in for a second, and your audio sounds really good on this line. So definitely,
oh, thank you.
A you good thing whenever you're running over there. It sounds like I'm really calling into a radio station.
Well, thank you, caller, for calling in.
All right, man. You take care. Get back to your viewers, man. Peace.
All right, take it easy. See ya. Well, that was fun.
See ya, man.
All right, we got a boatload of callers, so we're just gonna go through them. We got plenty of time. We got like 15 minutes. I got John KD9 NVF in the house. How's it going, John?
Hey. So I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to the last stream, but hey, you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Uh huh. I understand. What's going on, man?
Not much. Well, I got that RTL SDR.
Yes.
It's actually really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. What have you been playing around with? Just scoping out the bands, seeing what's fun on the air?
Yeah, pretty much. I've been looking at commercial radio stations, you know, like music stations. You know
okay.
what I'm talking about, right?
Like.
I've also been looking
yes,
local repeaters as well.
And are you just doing the FM, like, broadcasting space? Are you getting on the HF at all with that one?
I haven't tried HF, mainly because I don't think that little dipole kit that comes with it is actually good enough for that.
The rabbit ears one with the two hard antennas that extend? Yeah, that's not great. You can do that with... You can just make your own dipole. Make your own long wire. Just do that. I've done that before, and that works great. Really quick, hold on. I gotta mention, I saw this fly right by. Mr. Roman gave a super chat. Sorry, buddy. It flew by when Eric called in. Been trying for 10 years to get my ham license, but the language is scary to me. Found your channel, and you make it easy to understand through your videos. Thank you. I'm working and trying again. Mr. Roman, good work. Thank you, buddy. And got Lee Harrell. You mentioned buying a mobile at 50 watts. I bought the FT2980R for my Jeep. Only 2 meters, but 80 watts for, you know what? We talked about that. We talked about that radio last year, I think. $135 for emergencies. I'd rather be on 2 meter anyway. I agree. Eric M. says, thank you, Josh, for all the great vids. Thank you. Okay, sorry, Tom. I just needed to do that. Or sorry, John, before we lost those.
Yeah, I actually have a relative who was in a ham radio a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to borrow an old radio that he had.
Okay.
It's a little Kenwood dual band for VHF and UHF.
Do you know which one it is?
Yeah, I've got it right here. It's the Kenwood TMG707.
Hold on. Say that again. TM.
Yeah, TM-G707.
Okay. And that's a handheld? Oh, yeah, it's a mobile. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great radio. I'm sorry, I thought you said handheld for some reason.
Yeah, it's a little mobile radio. It's
that one will
good.
Do APRS, right?
No, unfortunately, it's one of those really old models.
Oh, okay, got it. I thought they had one that ended up having GPS later.
You could probably figure out a way to rig it up for APRS.
Right.
Kind of like how the Baofengs have that cable that you can buy for
oh,
APRS.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Maybe you could figure out a way to do that for the Kenwood.
Well, John, I've got a couple more calls I got to hit up here, so stay on the line. Is there anything you wanted to say or ask a question real quick before we wrap it up? We're going to go to Discord, by the way, so meet us over there and we can talk more.
Yeah, I've been in Discord sometimes, but I've usually just been lurking around because, you know, I'm not able to really, you know, talk on there very
gotcha.
Much because, you know, like 70 different people at once. That's just insanity.
No, we handle it. We do a good job. We got
really,
a lot of admin, so.
It's really difficult for me to handle, you know?
Oh, gotcha. All right, well, I got to get these other people on the air here before we wrap it up for today. So I appreciate you calling in, John.
All right.
All right, thanks. I'll talk to you later. See ya. Bye. All right. Who's next? I got Tom. Just Tom. Tom,
hello, Josh. This is Tom. W5
hey, there it is.
KUB.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. First of all, I tuned in the show tonight, and I thought something was crazy. You were on Facebook, and I was in the chat room, but it wasn't the chat room. It was on the screen, so I got all confused, man. So
I finally
figured it out.
Sorry about that.
I finally got it figured out. That's all right. Good show tonight, man.
Thank
Good
you.
Show.
I'm simulcasting to Facebook, YouTube and Twitch right now, so I'm kind of all over the place. But how have you been?
Yeah, okay. Hey, been doing good. We've missed you, and I know our Tuesday night deal is so early for you. You almost can't make it, man.
I recently kind of switched positions, and I end up staying at work a lot later than I normally do. 7 o'clock even on a Friday for me is sometimes difficult. But yeah,
I miss
you guys. I miss seeing you and talking to you on the Tuesdays. But just remember, everybody, this is W5KUB, who's got a Tuesday show, right? What's the time again? 6 o'clock Pacific time, right?
Yeah, it's Amateur Radio Roundtable. It's every Tuesday night on W5KUB.com at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. So Josh is a co-host on here when he can make it, but the guy's so busy, he's not making it anymore. Katie's been out, but Katie will be back with us. Katie will be back with us Tuesday, so everybody tune in and say hi to Katie.
Yeah, indeed. And I do miss you guys. I do want to get back out there as soon as I can, but I appreciate you bearing with me as I sort out my work stuff. But that's life.
Well,
that's what happens.
Right.
Life and ham radio.
I just wanted to call and say, hello. Hey, one last thing, then I'll go. Been a ham for 55 years. Never been in any digital stuff.
Yeah.
I loaded WSJTX this week, and after about eight hours, I figured out how to make it work, and I've been playing a little bit with FT8. It's kind of interesting.
It's interesting. Have you gone to PSK Reporter yet?
Yeah, I have. That's very interesting to see where you've been heard everywhere. That's kind of cool.
That's my favorite part about it is you get a real practical understanding of how far you're making it out there, which I really like. That's probably my favorite part about it.
Yeah. And hey, here's my last comment or question. Maybe somebody can help, and I'll research it. You know, the logging on the FT8, you know, you click to log the contact is basically in a text format. I'd really love to see that in some better format. And I'm looking for something that it can automatically upload it to QRZ or any of the others or maybe standalone, but I need it to be in a different look, you know?
Well, so the file that it exports to is Cabrillo format. And so any of your standard logging software like Ham Radio Deluxe, what's the other one that everybody, all the kids are using these days, that will, you can have that automatically import it and then upload it. N1MM will do it as well. Or you can go the next step and you can connect the logging program to the WSJTX software. And then when you click log on the FT8 pop-up, it'll automatically log it to N1MM or Ham Radio Deluxe or NF3TP or one of those other ones. So you can get it to go automatically across, which is, you know, it works really well.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to automatically upload it somewhere where I can just, you know, see it on the web. Mm-hmm. Josh, I'll let you go. I know you got a lot of calls, man. Thank you. Hey, everybody tune in Tuesday night.
Yeah, absolutely.
W5KUB.com. We'll see you.
Thanks, Tom. Good talking to you. All right. That was good talking to Tom. I haven't talked to him in a long time. All right. We got a super chat from Lee Harrell. Super chat in 30 cal because Evan Hartman dared me. Seriously, Josh, I'm addicted and I've talked 2 employees into taking the tech. Congratulations. All right. We got a new caller. New caller. What's going on? What's your name? Are you there, caller? I can hear you,
hey,
caller.
Hey, do you hear me?
I do. What's up? What's your name?
How's it going, Josh? My name's Justin, KC3EZP.
Right on. What's happening?
Not much, man. I'm actually looking into getting into DMR. I've tossed around the idea in the past, and you know, one of the guys in the local club is big into it, but you know, I just kind of slept on it, and it's really been, yeah, I've been getting the itch a lot more lately.
Right on.
And a lot of guys are pointing me towards the 878 or the MD380.
Yeah, those guys are right. Those guys are right. Go get an 878. This is an awesome radio. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, like I'm getting other input. Well, look at this. Well, look at that radio. And mm-hmm. Like, all right, man. Like I'm already indecisive by nature.
Sure.
So I kind of want to get your input on, you know, if I should just pull the trigger and just go with the 878. I mean,
yes.
I know.
Yes, you should. I mean, I'll ask a couple of clarifying questions. Like, are these your friends or these are people in a club? These are club members?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, no do one... they do you have a repeater for DMR in your area?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to find out too, but I'm pretty sure that there's definitely a DMR repeater locally.
So if your fellow club members are telling you, "Hey, get into DMR and check out this radio," it's likely because they've already got theirs programmed. So all you're going to have to do is say, "Hey, buddy, I got this radio. Show me what to do." They'll help you program it, and you'll be off and running, and you'll be loving it. I'm telling you, the 878 is probably my favorite DMR radio out right now. Now, I appreciate I'm not a big DMR YouTube channel. I there's a lot of people who have better opinions than me, but everything this thing does for somebody that's going into DMR is going to be outstanding. An amazing battery life, the loudest speaker I know of on an HT. It's a very good radio, highly recommended. That's the Anytone 878 for those in the chat. Anytone 878, if you go to my channel and look up Anytone or 878, you'll find my video review for it.
Yeah, it's just these guys were, you know, giving their opinions, and then, you know, everybody had good feedback in the one Facebook DMR group, but they're all, you know, well, look at this radio. The one was the BTEC 6x2 or 6x2.
That's a good radio too. I would recommend going, since it would be your first DMR radio, I would kind of go with the herd a little bit on this, particularly since it's a club, because they're going to be able to help you program it. You're not going to be on your own. It's your first DMR radio. It's nice to have friends that know how to program them. I would just kind of go with that one, have them help you get it programmed, and have fun with it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. One guy's like, oh, just get this one Olinko or get the PYT. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to spend like upwards of 100, why not just spend 200 and get, you know, the flagship, if you will.
I can't argue with that logic at all.
I'm going to be spending money on a hot spot and possibly software. If I'm going to be investing a couple bucks, I might as well.
Right on.
But I knew you were pretty familiar with this stuff, so I was glad I was able to get at you here and kind of get your opinion on it. So I'm very thankful for that.
I appreciate that. So, Justin, thanks for calling in, and I would say go with 878. That's a solid go.
Awesome. I think I'll be investing in that very soon, and kind of keep you filled in if I get the opportunity to let you know how it's working out for me. And
yeah,
I know it's going to be a learning curve. That's the best part about this hobby is learning.
I think so too. Yeah, well, go join our Discord and let us know how it goes for you when you get it up and running. And if you have trouble, the Discord's also a really good place to go if you need help, because we've got a help section for that. So, right on. Definitely. All right, Justin, I got another caller. So, what was that? Go ahead.
Oh, do you have a link maybe on your Facebook or?
It's in the description for the video to the Discord, and I'm sure one of the admins will probably drop the link right now in the chat there for you.
Awesome. Cool, man. Well, hey, thanks for taking my call, man. I appreciate you.
All right.
Taking time out to me here.
Thank you, Justin.
Have a good night. And thanks again for the live streams and all the great videos.
Well, thanks for watching. You take it easy. See ya.
Yep. Take care, man.
Okay. We got another caller. This is probably going to be the last one, so here we go. Hey, caller, how's it going?
It's going good. This is Zach, the guy who gave the super chat.
Hey, Zach, how's it going?
It's going good. I've watched a lot of your videos, but I've never actually watched a live stream, so this is pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
I had a few questions, if you have time for those.
Sure.
First off, what is DMR? I actually don't even know what DMR is.
What is it? Digital mobile radio? It's basically, your radio, right? You push the PTT button, you start talking into the microphone, it's going to modulate that into frequency modulation usually and send that over the air. Well, before it goes to the modulator, it's going to encode it into a digitized format. Basically, take your analog audio voice, digitize it like a computer tone. It kind of, like a modem tone, if you will. Not exactly like that, but similar. And then it's going to send that over the air. And the other end will receive that digitized voice, decode it, and spit it out as audio. And now it's going to sound a little digital. It's going to have some digital artifacts, but it's generally a very fun mode because there's all kinds of cool stuff they can do with it as far as repeaters go and how you can use it on the internet.
I see. So it's basically like kind of how the old, how your modem works, how you get a signal from your cable provider and then your box decodes it into your TV signal. It's kind of like that. Your audio is being turned into a digital signal.
Yeah.
And then sending digital instead of analog.
I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You can compress the bandwidth a little bit so you can kind of get more data out in a smaller space. Anyway, there's all kinds of complex videos you can look at that cover it to greater detail than that. But it's just like you said, it's digitized voice.
That's cool. Okay. And I was trying to think when I got in the queue of like, what other questions could I actually ask you? And I only came up with two besides that, which is, do you think the Yaesu FT60 is a good beginner radio? Like, I'm picking up a lot of repeaters in my area here, 40 minutes away from Chicago. Mm-hmm. But, even if you do think it's a good radio, is there any recommendations for, like, a radio under or around $400 that's just like an HF radio, not a dual band radio?
Okay, so a couple of things there. Is the FT60 still a good radio? Yes, with the caveat is it's still using, it's an older radio, so it uses NiCad batteries. They haven't adopted it to lithium ion, and I don't think they will. They're probably just going to discontinue it, which I think they've stopped producing them. I could be wrong, and I don't want to spread misinformation, but I think you can still buy them at HRO. With a $400 price tag, you can buy almost any HT and possibly mobile VHF, UHF radio you'd want. So you have a ton of options. How many repeaters are you in your area, and is it mostly analog or is it mostly digital? What have you got out there?
Well, I still haven't figured that out yet. That's kind of why I made the comment earlier about me going to that Ham Fest and Belvedere on Sunday, because I mm-hmm. wrote down there's a repeater in my area, 147.330, mm-hmm. K9BAR, 2-meter repeater, okay. and I have no idea where it is, but I guess I could have Googled it, which you're probably doing now.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I have the Yaesu right now, and, you know, it's fun to listen. I haven't made any transmissions yet, obviously, but mm-hmm. I'm just like, should I get something bigger since I want to get a license? And, you know, just want to know your thoughts about that. Thanks again for everything.
Yeah, you've got a lot of great options, particularly at a $400 price point. You're going to find lots of things you can do with that. And just for those that are watching, you know, if you're interested to find out what repeaters are in your area, you go to radioreference.com, go to frequency database. Click on your state, click on your county, which is, where is it? That's for me.
I'm in Chicago. I'm in Illinois. So yeah.
Well, you can still go to your state. You can do it. Well, I mean, we could do it for you even. Here, yeah. Let's try it live. Chicago, Illinois. Where is... you are in Chicago. Okay, got it. So if you go to amateur radio, all these frequencies are going to be available to you.
I'm actually right outside the city, but either way, I understand. That's really cool though.
So, you know, you're going to get some, there are other repeaters that are going to be out there. Some of the stuff that's on here is not, up to date, but it's pretty good. And it gives you an idea. It looks like you got a lot of D-Star. I don't see DMR in here. You got a lot of D-Star in your area. So maybe an ICOM radio.
Okay. Yeah. I did hear someone from California the other day. I don't think it was you, but I've heard people far away, and they said they were talking, I think, on D-Star.
Yeah, that sounds about
right. Yeah, maybe I should look into an ICOM.
How did you hear them? What were you listening on?
I was listening on my Yaesu FT60, just sitting in the backyard, and I was picking it up on the 147.330 repeater.
Oh, that's probably cross-linked. It's probably a linked repeater, linked via the internet or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you're not going to be able to hear me in California from Chicago on a VHF radio. You'd have to hear it through some kind of internet relaying system.
Yeah. Would HF work from here to California?
Yeah, it will. That's more expensive, though. Cool. You're going to need a big honking antenna, more power, bigger radios, that kind of stuff to be able to do that, though.
I see. So besides, before going to the HF range, I could get... like, you know, somewhere around the $400 range, like a radio that, you know, works with all the repeaters and has a little more functionality than just this one, and probably hear across the country and whatnot.
Well, you're only going to hear across the country assuming that the repeater that's local to you is internet connected to other repeaters. You're not going to hear.
Okay.
VHF, UHF is line of sight. You can only hear at most from a HT, maybe 60. Maybe 100 miles if you're really lucky, but that's you don't get that atmospheric bounce like HF does. You've got to basically it's local comms.
Gotcha. So I'd be looking at a lot more money. You know, it seems like close to $1,000 for it's even a decent HF. Is that correct?
I would say that's a beginner HF radio. Once you factor in your antenna, once you factor in your antenna and power supplies and all the things you need, you're looking at $1,000, if not more.
All right. Well, I really want to thank you, Josh, for all the answers. And I just want to say 73 to everyone out there, even though I don't have a license yet. I know the lingo. And, I hope you guys have a great night. And I'll be watching the rest of the stream, and maybe I'll see you on Discord.
All right. Zach, thank you for calling in.
A bunch of lightning.
Oh, yeah. Well, pull your antennas down. Don't get hit.
Oh, I will.
And thank you for the support. I appreciate it. See ya.
No problem.
All right. Good talking to Zach. Okay, we got one more, and, well, we're running late. So let's one more, and then we got to go. Oh, wait, there it is. Okay. Hey, how's it going, caller?
You're doing pretty good, Josh. Long-time fan, first-time viewer on the live stream, and first-time caller.
Hey, what's your name?
My name is Ray, November 9, Juliet Alpha.
Oh, how you doing?
Doing pretty good.
What?
Sounds like you got a
go ahead.
Pretty good crowd listening and watching you tonight. So I just wanted to say good job on what you're doing. I've been watching for the last half hour. A lot of good information, both in the chat room as well as in the live stream itself. Your previous caller that's in Illinois, we're having a Superfest up at HRL Milwaukee tomorrow. Come on up and talk to us.
Ray, is it okay if I mention who you are for those that don't recognize that call sign?
Oh, man, you can, but then they're going to think the previous information that you gave on radios was because I was in the wings waiting to talk to you.
No. Guys, this is Ray Novak from ICOM. Chief Marketing Director, is that the proper title?
Oh, I don't know. They give me the title of Senior Sales Manager, but I cover everything from in North, Central, and South America for amateur and having a good time doing it.
Very cool. I watched your video today with Emmett, Radio Waves, on the MCOM 1.
Yeah, I'm not too happy with Facebook's video rendering because nothing changed in the gimbal or anything that I was doing with the video. It decided to take my landscape video and post it.
I saw that.
Portrait.
What gimbal were you using?
I picked up one of those new Smobes from, I see them all the time on the Facebook feed, thought I would give it a try. And it was my first video doing it. And it was very interesting to use it for the first time.
Yeah, I have one, and I have noticed, I don't know that this happened to you, but if I tilt it, the gimbal thinks it's doing the right thing and will try and flip it vertically or horizontally, and that freaks the programs out, I've found, when I do that. Was that kind of what happened?
I don't know. We lost connectivity and had to open the back doors. The cell coverage for AT&T is not that good, where HRO store is, but as soon as we opened the back door, the data rate was much better, and it was kind of chaotic.
Yeah. It was good, though. It was good seeing Emmett and you and walking through the MCOM 1. I did a video on the MCOM 1. It's very impressive.
It is a nice vehicle, and I hate that Mike Lee's taking a leave of absence over in Singapore because the engineering that he did on that vehicle was phenomenal.
Yeah. I agree. Man, you are getting a lot of comments in the chat. They're asking you a ton of questions. I don't know if you can see them. But you're probably not ready to come out with the information they're looking for yet.
let me take a look. No pricing on the 705. We hope that we will get by Dayton, but there's not been anything official.
Oh, okay. So by Dayton, you heard that. That's good.
Yeah, we're hoping. Fingers crossed that we do. Hey, Tony, thank you for buying at V86. I appreciate it. That is a great radio. I call it a loudmouth portable because the audio is so loud on it. Although I heard Josh mention about how great that any tone was.
It is very loud. That is a very loud radio. Well, I think that was mainly the questions. Everybody wanted to know release date. Release date's the big thing. But, you know, Dayton sounds about the right time. I would think that that's when a lot of stuff goes available or hands-on, right?
Any time that a radio is shown for the first time, either in Japan or that we do it at Dayton, if it's under glass, I speculate a minimum of a year. The 705, they had multiple working units at the Tokyo Ham Fair. So I think Dayton would be a real good time frame. Mm-hmm. In the UK, they got the big HF conference this weekend, and the input that I've got is it was under glass, and it actually was just a mock-up sample, so there was no power. It was just the graphics on it. So, but it looks like that's going to be a very exciting radio.
Yeah. That has been a ton of comments that I've gotten on that. When I first saw the video you posted, that was, I think, that same day we were doing the live stream for Friday. So I ended up getting some information out there for people that I saw on your video that you did, which is great. That was very helpful. So people are very excited about that. I'm excited. I mean, there's a lot of things that I want to see out in the field that I think are going to be cool. I like the idea of the reusable battery packs, exchangeable, if you will. So that's been my interest.
Yeah, that is a very interesting concept. The one thing about it is the battery pack that works with the 705 is the optional high-capacity battery pack for the 31 and 51.
Okay.
The voltage output's the same, it's just the capacity is a lot different, so I don't know how the smaller capacity would work. There's no specifications yet on current drain, although there's been some very interesting blogs and videos speculating on what the current drain will be, so it's all fun watching all that, but we really won't know until it comes out.
Yep, I think I know. I think I know some of the same stories and videos that I've seen and read on that. A lot of speculation.
Now, there was one video that I really liked to see, and that was instead of being a naysayer video or how it should have been done better, the guy actually took a pragmatic view of, okay, if it's released, the information that's released is what it's going to be. How can we have fun with it, and how will it work into his particular use case? And that was pretty cool to see that.
Was it Julian? OH8STN in Finland?
Oh, yes. That was it. I recognized the call there.
Yep. He has a very specific use case for his radio use. And so we've all been talking. We call it I call it the triad of QRP. I think he has another name for it. Is you obviously want something that's portable. You want power if you can get it, but power can be exchanged for utility. And one of the big things is a USB sound card. That's been one of the big items that we've been looking for, is having a QRP radio with one cable, just one cable to your digital device. So if you want to do something more advanced with it, you can. And so there's a lot of people excited for that.
Yeah, that's true. But you've also got Bluetooth built in. You also have Wi-Fi built in. What can we do with Wi-Fi? Well, we can go to the internet. What will it allow us to do?
Oh, I didn't even think. I didn't know it had Wi-Fi. I knew about the Bluetooth. Oh, so that may be new information. I didn't realize it had Wi-Fi. Very cool.
It was either mentioned in my video or in the brochure or in Japan ICOM's official video on it, but that's very interesting to see that kind of technology put into it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh man, yeah, we can do all kinds of stuff with that. All right.
And it's my understanding that you're going to have the BLE Bluetooth chipset, so you're looking at low current there.
Okay.
So I know they've looked at low current devices before, so it shall be interesting to see the final release.
I'm very excited, very interested. Well, man, Ray, thanks for calling in. This is a fun little surprise. Where are you this weekend? Is it Milwaukee? You're there for the HRO event?
Yeah, I'm up here in Milwaukee. I saw one guy ask if he could come up to the event and get a free radio tomorrow, a free 703. Wait a minute. A free 7300, sorry.
Yeah.
It's been a long day. 7300 is one of the prizes tomorrow. You got to be in the barrel to win. So
there you go. Very good. Well, thank you, Ray. I appreciate you calling in. What time is it over there? Past 10 now?
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, I appreciate you staying up and hopping on. That's awesome.
Alrighty.
All right. Well, anywhere you want people to go check? Are you going to be posting to Facebook? Are you going to be posting to Facebook tomorrow? Do you want people to go check you out there? Or where's some of the media from your event this weekend going to be?
I know HRO's Facebook goddess Katie's going to be doing some live streaming from there. So I think with the way Saturday is and Illinois being such a ham state as well as Wisconsin, Will and I are going to have our hands full in the booth. So
sure.
I probably won't be doing any live streaming tomorrow.
Understood. All right. Well, yeah, I'll tell people to go check out Katie Allen. She's on Twitter too, by the way, and you can follow her on the HRO Facebook. Well, Ray, awesome again. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right. Are you going to be down at PacificCon later next month?
I don't have any plans to be right now. I've got to see how the rest of this this month goes. I'd like to, but I haven't worked anything out yet. It's about a 6-hour drive from me to get up there.
Okay.
Not so bad, but yeah.
No, not so bad. It's about a 4-hour flight for me. So yeah. If you make it, man, we'll see you there.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for calling.
All right. See have ya. A good night.
You too.
73, everyone.
Oh yeah, 73. Well, that was very cool. All right. Well, that was a first. I don't know that we've had a major player in amateur radio calling the show before. That was very cool. Very fun. All right, guys. So I've got to do. Oh, you know what? I got to mention this before we go. I got something in the PO box. Let me hold it up really quick. And I would do this on the overhead, but the camera died. Great letter. It was this nice little thing. Great letter. I'll mention the name just so that I can tell him he got it. Cedric Havens, KD2 SPB, sent a really nice letter. He sent me a challenge coin from L3 Harriscom, which I was very excited about. That Harris makes military radios. When I got the package, there was a very intentional slit that was cut. So somebody felt this thing up. Felt a coin-shaped thing, slid it open, and took it out. So be careful. You know, put some bubble wrap around whatever you've got, and you know, make it a little bit safer. I'm very sorry about that, but wanted to say thank you, and I appreciate the effort. That was really nice. So last thing before we go, and then we're going to go over to the Discord. Got to say thank you to the patrons, all my patrons right here. Or some of them. These are the producer patrons. Chris Ebert, Carrie Blackwell, Franklin Lewis, I skipped ahead. Jason Brown, Jason Siebert, David Dansero, Danny Miller, Wesley Magyar, Barbara Schrock, Will Ladd, Franklin Lewis, Brad Snyder, Dennis Dunderdale, Garrett Larson, Jonathan Franson, 86DM Dennis, the Wyoming Ham, who I saw. We've got a couple of the patrons in there. There he is. There's the Wyoming Ham. Very good. I know I got to have him check in. Randall Hinsley, Evan Hartman. Evan, thank you again for your support and your big help to everything. Dennis Mickelson, George Gaini, Andy, Kenny Miyamoto, Ron Thorson, Ken Hall, Corey Vuelta, Mr. Moe, David Mayers, Devin B. Hedge, Mark Chase, Raymond Cracker, Geraldo Kelso, Rob K8BCR, Lee Harrell, Michael Kearney, Steve Barker, Mark Fields, Corey Shelton, Brad Nadeau, Stephen Hunt, Brian Nosowitz, Conrad Carroll, Mike Marusin, Mike Hill. I did this last week. I got to stop and read this beforehand. Mike Hurley, I believe it's Hurley, Harold Carpenter, and the Brew Crew, but I realized I need more space. Ian Webb, Sean Bales, James Barrett. This is a new one for me. And then someone help me out. Someone help me out. I don't know how to pronounce this name. If I'm even pronouncing that right, please let me know how to pronounce your name. I don't want to butcher it, and I don't want to try and risk... please send me a message. Chad Newton, Rob Zarge, John Molnar, and got a message. 86 Dennis, can't say enough. Thanks for the stream. Look forward to Fridays with HRCC. Thank you, Dennis. All right, guys, that is it. I'm heading over to the Discord. If you want to follow this conversation or keep it going, into the after chat. I'll be on Twitch too, which we'll try and do some QSOs or something fun on that end. Anyway, thanks so much for watching 7-3s, and take it easy.